Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And the Oscar goes to... You're listening to Bandwagons.
Talking about things that other people are talking about.
Welcome back to Bandwagons.
Welcome back, guys. Thanks for joining us. Will we do the housekeeping now, or we do the housekeeping at the end?
We can do housekeeping at the end.
Okay,
I think.
So stay tuned for that. We've got a lot of people to thank and talk to about Friday and everything else, yada yada yada. But first
things first,
we're talking about the Oscars.
Yeah,
very exciting. You did not stay up to watch them, and neither did I.
No. And by the
glad we're covering them.
By the looks of it, yeah, glad we chose this. By the looks of it, we were better off sleeping, I think.
Yeah. So I think I suppose obviously with everything that was going on, like, a lot of the ceremonies have been part in person, part virtual. The Oscars and the Academy were kind of really standing their ground about it being a normal, in inverted commas, ceremony. They weren't letting people zoom in. It was in person, like, normal-ish red carpet. Happened at Union Station. Disappointing that kind of the focus is on, and the fact that the ceremony was so lackluster, because in terms of the winners, very good winners and very diverse for once. So yeah. It's just a shame that in this media cycle, it's going to be like, oh, the Oscars are really boring. When it was like, yeah, the ceremony was, but like in terms of actually who won, it was quite interesting.
Yeah. Normally, do you stay up and watch, and like how invested do you get? I think we've done an episode on this before. Now that I'm saying it, we did a general one.
Yeah, we did a general one. So when I was younger, I would have watched, because it definitely wasn't as accessible. Like if you were watching, you were watching the next day on RT or something.
Yeah.
And then when I eventually did get Sky and got the E channel, I obviously watched Life from the Red Carpet. I would have been way more interested in the fashion. It's only as I've gotten older that I'm kind of like, I'm kind of more interested in the politics around it and that kind of thing. And I suppose, to be honest, with the year that it's been, like, I've watched more movies than I ever would. Though, I will say, and we get into this with our guest, it was a strange year for Ireland, I suppose, particularly. And I'm sure other countries were the same. Like, a lot of the nominated movies, we weren't able to watch up until, like, last week, which is just
the
insane.
The only one I'd heard about was Promising Young Woman, and that's only really in the last 2 or 3 weeks. And then I heard about...
Because it only came to streaming.
Like, yeah. And then I'd heard about Nomadland. Is that what it's called? Nomadland, yeah. On a podcast last night. I think it was maybe like an OTV ad or something. I think
that's
maybe,
only on Star only, on Disney Plus this week. Like,
literally only last night or this morning I heard about it. And then all of a sudden it won an Oscar. I was like, what the hell? Where did that come out of?
So I watched Judas and the Black Messiah. I thought it was amazing. Trying to think what else. I think
Jane watched Promising Young Woman and said it was overhyped, but it was good.
But he did say it was good, but he said he just did say that there was a lot of hype around it, which seems to be the narrative around it, I think.
Yeah.
Which
I think I might watch that today.
Yeah. Nomadland, I think, seems to be...
Should we do Promising Young Woman for Movie Club this week?
We could do. I'm not sure how much crack it'll be. Is the
actually,
only thing.
Maybe not, yeah.
We'll,
we should watch we'll it before we commit it. To anything.
Yeah, maybe we'll have a thing. But we could do Nomadland.
Yeah, we don't know what that's about, though, do we?
We do, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Would it be crack? I don't know if it'd be good crack, is the thing. See, there's very few of them that would be any crack.
We could do like a throwback Oscar-themed movie club. Yeah. Let's commit to that, but we don't know what movie yet.
Yeah. Sorry, I had seen Borat, subsequent movie film, thought it was grand.
Did it win
there was some... No, it was nominated for a few things. Didn't win much. Trial of the Chicago 7, did you watch that?
Yes, I did. That was very
for
good.
A few things.
I did not know Borat. How the heck did Borat get nominated for...
Borat, first of all.
Why do I say it wrong? I never can hear the
Borat. Borat, are you okay? Borat. Bor.
Which is the right way?
Borat.
Borat.
Borat. The way I'm saying it. Is
not Borat.
Well, like, obviously, like, well, sorry, Sacha Baron Cohen was nominated for Trial of the Chicago 7, but like,
yes.
For one, and I'm sorry, I shouldn't remember her name. The gal who's in Borat subsequent movie film was up for an actress nom. So, yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Delighted for Daniel Kaluuya. We're going to have to catch up on the rest of the movies. But
yeah, you can hear we are not the experts, but we do have an expert on hand to talk us through the Oscars in every single aspect.
Yes. So a big thank you to Stephen Byrne for joining us on today's episode. Who better to talk about the Oscars with than broadcaster, cutie pie, sweetheart, friend of the pod, Stephen Byrne?
How's it going?
Oh, I'm so delighted to have you here.
I'm delighted. The only podcast I listen to, which I should not say.
No way.
Because if I actually say that, then all the people that I've told that to before know that. Know
so
that
we just
I'm
know
lying.
You're lying. It's fine.
Well, no. All the people I've actually said to before. Oh, yeah. I love your podcast. Like, this is literally, when that Spotify stuff came out at Christmas and it was like, oh, everything you've listened to over the last number of years, this was in, obviously, it was my number one and I posted it.
Just me and Breed relentlessly.
How do you do
Fair
it?
Fair play. How do you do
our voices
it?
In your ear once a week? That's too much for me.
It's literally, I literally just throw you on when I'm doing something around the house and it you're just there and always there and it's so comforting. It's lovely.
Oh, that's fills my heart with joy. You're so sweet.
No. But radio is a great medium and it will never die.
No, it won't. And you keep me company every
balance.
Weekend in the car on the way up and down to Cork. Oh. I always text you after the show and I'm all coming off the empty to be like, great show today, Stephen. I'm such a licker. Such a licker.
Thank you very much.
So talk to me. What was the first year that you covered the Oscars for work, et cetera, et cetera?
First year that I went to the Oscars was 2013, I think. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Yes, 2013.
That's a lot of fingers.
Were you two more?
Were you Oscar obsessed before you went, or how did it come about that you were going to be the person to go?
It's one of those things of just literally do something and see if it happens. I was obsessed with it. Used to watch it every single year with my sister. We used to place bets, and whoever kind of got the most right would have to pay for the takeaway that we'd had earlier, all that sort of stuff. And honestly, never thought I'd ever end up there. But I worked on a show called TuTube at the time, and we kind of just did everything. We had different elements of, you know, going to London to interview people, and at the same time we'd be interviewing, you know, students in schools, or completely just the most diverse show in the entire world. But I just had this, I just saw an application for press for the Oscars one year, and I was like, will I? Knowing full well that I wouldn't be allowed to go, because one, it would cost so much money to go over to LA. We had very tight budgets. I was like, I'll never allow it. But do you know what? I'm just going to see if I would be accepted, if the Oscars like me. So I put together an application form, put it in, didn't tell anyone in work. And then a week or two later, got an application kind of received back going, yeah, we want you here. If you can come over, here's all the information. Here's all the details. You're booked in. Here's your slot. Here's your place on the carpet. Here's your all this. And I was like, oh, shite.
Then you had to tell your boss.
I was like, either I have to tell my boss or no, I won't tell him. And I had actually that whole feeling of I can't tell him because I know I'm going to be, you know, given out to about it. They won't. Like, there's no way they'll be like, oh, Stephen, like, why? So I said it to my assistant producer at the time. He's a mad film fan. And I just thought he would kind of be like, oh, that's gas, like, and laugh it off and be like, oh. But I said to him, he's like, you have to tell our boss. You have to say it to him. I was like, no, no. I don't want to get in trouble. So he went and told him. And then the next day, my boss came over to me, my producer came over to me and went, oh. I was like, what? And he was like, well, obviously, like, it would be amazing to go. And I was like, yeah, well, we can't. And he went, no, we have to. And I was like, why? And he was like, well, we are one of the Oscar kind of partners because we pay for the ceremony. We do that every year, you know, to air it every year. It looks bad.
Oh no.
Yeah.
And I was like, so what you're saying is, and he was like, if you can find a way to fund it, then yes. So we did. We found ways to do it very cheaply and found sponsors and all that every year. And it kicked off from that. And it kind of taught me, like, just if you want to do something, you know, just stretch your arm out and who knows, maybe it might actually happen. And you might not get in trouble for it.
If you're not in, you can't win.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the old
saying
in Bandwagons HQ. What, like, what actually happens? Because, like, what we see on screen is very different to a day working there, I would imagine. Like, what does your day look like when you pull up in normal times? Obviously, you're at the Oscars, you're there to do your job. What happens?
Well, it starts days before. So kind of people see, obviously, the Oscar ceremony that happens on the Sunday evening. But it all kicks off the Monday before in terms of Oscar week. You have the pre-parties, which all the nominees would be invited to, but then everybody else would be invited to as well. It becomes this festival in Los Angeles for the week. So there'll be screenings kind of going on all week long as well, but specific kind of Hollywood Oscar pre-parties for Irish people. So there's the Oscar Wilde pre-party, which happens in J.J. Abrams' studio. There's the Women in Hollywood party, which celebrates all the women that are nominated that year. And then also for the nominees, they have dinners as they go every single day leading up to the night. So that's the opportunity for, you know, someone who's just nominated for the first time, maybe in a best director category or a best documentary category, to meet Steven Spielberg or to get those sort of contacts. And then there's still the voting that is going up all the way to then. So the voting happens, obviously some people get sent out stuff, but there's screenings that are happening for last minute kind of voters and last minute members of the Academy. And it's just a bit of a buzz for the entire week. People are kind of obviously walking around and you know, very much there for it. And you have hundreds of people, obviously thousands of people who have flown in just for that week who might not even be going to it. But then for us, we'd start on the Wednesday. So we have to go pick up our credentials kind of on the Wednesday before, get all our stuff, be walked around the carpet, do our kind of our security checks, all that sort of stuff. And we get down there kind of on a Saturday and get to grips with what we're doing. But it's weird, kind of in the first few years, it was like, walking around like, oh God, someone's looking at me like I'm like not meant to be here because I'm not meant to be here. But after kind of the last number of years that we were going, it was very much like, okay, like we know what we're doing. And one of the main reasons for that is they treat you so well over there. I've never been to an event that is where the press are treated as well as the actors. The press are treated like they are almost even as important as the people who are nominated. And I think they understand, you know, that they are, that the press are a big reason for why people will actually tune into it and why people will actually watch it, and that it's nothing without that. So we'd arrive down at about 9 a.m. on the Sunday morning, shoot a few bits on the carpet to pre-rec it, get ready. The main thing is we used to do the red carpet interviews, but we realized there was no point for it because, like, people wake up and the awards have already happened. So there's no point in actually interviewing anybody. But we'd be there from 9 a.m. all the way till about 1 a.m. Because the ceremony kicks off about 3 for the red carpet and about 5:30 for the actual ceremony. But we'd be sitting behind the main stage, right behind this place called Winner's Walk. So once someone wins their award, they leave to the right of the stage and they get brought down this thing called Winner's Walk, where, you know, there's 100 people throwing them glasses of champagne going, you're amazing, you're beautiful, you're brilliant, oh my God, this is the start of your life. And then they get thrown into a room with me and another maybe 50 people from the press who are like asking stupid questions. I mean, stupid questions.
Oh, like, give us an example. Give us an example of the stupidest question you've heard in that room.
Pretty sure, I forget who it was asked to, but I'm sure if I look back who it would be, but someone was like, what was your favourite episode of Home and Away?
That's definitely Margot Robbie or someone.
It could have been.
Or a Hemsworth. No, Hemsworth.
Oh, that's so, that's someone from an extremely niche publication or podcast that like somehow wangled their way there and yeah, come back.
Home and Away fan line.
Like it's just.
Oh, that's
imagine.
But it is tooth and nail to try and get like in the press room. It's almost like an auction. They walk in and we're sitting there right in front of them. We've all got kind of access to a microphone. It's like a stage that looks gorgeous, but it's also just like a hotel room because the Oscars itself actually happens basically when they're walking. The red carpet is through a shopping center, so they walk down Hollywood Boulevard, which is completely blocked off for a good whack up, like maybe like a full 30 minute walk of Hollywood Boulevard is shut down, but it only gets shut down from the evening before. So if you are like are over in LA the week before, you can technically walk down the red carpet if you want to. All the statues will be up. It is all up there. And then you can just pop into the ice cream parlor that's literally like on the red carpet. It's that in a shopping center. It's like doing it in Dundrum Town Center. It's called the Hollywood High Island. And then watching it in like, I don't know, the theater that's in Dundrum Town Center, which is the Dolby Theater. But there's a connection between the Dolby Theater and the hotel right beside, which is the Lowe's Hotel, which is where we are. So it's an underground passage that they go through to end up in this conference room where we're waiting for them. And they just get chucked out in front of us, like I said, and ask all these questions. But like you tell lies, like my great-grandfather fought in the War of Independence and I can't tell you how many actors I've been like, can I get them? I'm Irish, no. It's beside Britain. He would murder me, but sometimes you just gotta, like Olivia Colman being like, yeah, like, you know, the Queen. And I'm
love
Irish.
Her. Love her.
We love it. We love it. And it works. But like, it is. It's a well-oiled operation, and they very much treat everybody that goes there with respect, which is something that I really admire. And they've always been very progressive with things as well. Even kind of when we go, I remember the first year a couple of years ago, where they kind of we came in and they always tell you what to wear. And it was the first year that they said, you know, men can wear dresses and women can wear suits and things like that. So they've always just been. It's just very well taken care of. And it's not like you just show up, they're emailing you kind of every 2 or 3 days for about 3 or 4 months beforehand.
Do you still get... Oh, no, you go.
Sorry, I was just going to ask before we get into the actual questions again, the food, right? is it as scarce as some of the celebs go on about? Or is it like... Or what? Is it... Or were you well fed?
Oh, I'm well fed. This is the most amazing thing about it. Like, they always go, and everybody with our famous prawn cocktail, which is outside in the hallway. Like, literally, when we get in there at like 9 a.m., they'll have breakfast for us at about 11. Full massive buffet, crazy level, like constantly being changed, like full, like the coffee, drinks, all that sort of stuff, whatever you want. No alcohol, of course, but. Then lunch comes out, and lunch is like a buffet, like about, which is, I'd say about 100 meters long. It's the most ridiculous thing, and we can just dive into it. And then right beside that, there's a table of people who know everything about the Oscars, the Oscar nerds, like basically, who you can go over to and be like, who won this and blah, 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 blah. And they will come back to you within 30 seconds being like, well, you'll find that it was this person. And it's just a beacon of knowledge and all that sort of stuff. But there, I don't know. I mean, they don't get fed during the day. So they'll arrive on the red carpet maybe at about from 3 o'clock till 4:30 or 5.
Yeah.
And the ceremony starts. And just before it starts, they are in a reception room in the Dolby foyer. So it's basically this foyer of a cinema where they are given like the tiniest glass of champagne in the entire world, and maybe a few olives and things like that. And then, yeah, they don't get fed when they're in the ceremony, but some people have been known to bring hip flasks and all that sort of stuff. And then afterwards, they walk off the red carpet, and right beside, they get brought into the governor's ball, which is the first place that they'll get to eat. But that might not be till about 10:30 at night. So, yeah, they wouldn't kind of eat between...
Cross.
2 o'clock and there, and I doubt, you know, they might have eaten, they'll be nervous, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
like, they've just like got it into their suits and don't want to bloat or, you know, all that sort of stuff. So yeah. I doubt they would. So yeah, they wouldn't eat till maybe like 10:30, 11, and then obviously they start drinking as well and they get absolutely shit-faced. Which I love. Some of them you can even see like I shouldn't really say this, but I know the secret exit that goes from the hotel down through the shopping center and into the red carpet after the ceremony, where I actually hide my badge. So you have to wear your badge at all times, but I hide my badge so I look like I was actually in the actual Oscars and was invited. And we get the official Oscar program that everybody does and everybody gets. So I go down and pretend that I'm obviously like
an actor,
that I've just walked out, and you just get to experience what is basically the end of a Debs. And it's, you know, the likes
carnage.
Carnage. Like some of my favorites, like Octavia Spencer running down the carpet with no shoes on after Shangela from Drag Race.
Oh my God.
Shangela, can I give a photo? Like amazing moments of just looking around and be like, this is like every like after Debs or after whatever, but they're the most famous people in the entire world. It's ridiculous. Just seeing people like wandering down and like ignoring each other, being like, oh my God, look, like Brad Pitt is clearly ignoring whoever is like walking by and all this sort of stuff. It's hilarious and so surreal. It's just like, what? And it reminds you that they're all normal people, extremely white privileged normal people, but like normal people.
Does the novelty ever wear off, or do you still have those like pinch me moments? I know you haven't been in a couple of years, but when you go again, will you still be like, I can't believe I'm at the Oscars?
I think when I go back, I will. Yeah. Last year was a bit of a moment like that again. But there were maybe one or two years where it sunk in and you had to really be like, come on, and start pinching yourself, being like, start thinking this is fake. Start thinking that this isn't real. Because there are the days where you kind of are walking in and, you know, you do your security and you're just like, nah. And you go, wow, okay,
another day at the office.
You walk in, you're just like another day at the office. And it's the only, because I've done 8 of them, so there's you know, anything that you do that much will become like that. But at the same time, you still do get those moments where you're like, something is, you know, that you've been doing for a while, and obviously it's very normal, like sitting in the press room and then all of a sudden you look up and you're like like a moment where I don't know, if La La Land, when La La Land was winning and it won so many awards, that you're like, oh, Emma Stone's in the room again. Yeah, okay. You're like, Steven, shut up. Emma Stone is in the room again. Like, don't be like, oh, like going, oh, shite. They've won another award. So they're going to come back in to talk to us. Like, already talked to Steven Spielberg. Don't need to talk to him again. There are those moments you just have to really kind of check yourself, because, but then at the same time, when you're in work mode for anything, you very much don't really process what's happening until after it actually happens. You're like, that was insane. What?
Oh, so yeah. Speaking of La La Land, you were in the room for the whole mix-up with Moonlight. What was that like?
That was, it honestly felt like a bomb went off. because I almost tuned out a little. The way it works is we've got, we can watch on a TV in that room. But at that very moment when all that is going on, usually is when most of the actors and stuff are coming into the press room. So they, you know, are getting their drinks outside after and talking to people. So they get delayed. So you might not be getting an award that was halfway through the ceremony, that person coming into you until the end. So I forget who was in the room, but they, obviously that was going on the screen. We've got headphones that we can place in and listen to the screen while someone's in the room. And I had them off because I was just like, oh, okay, focus on this interview and this chat, whatever. And then all of a sudden everybody just went, ah! And I put my headphones in and I remember just looking up and they were just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I couldn't really understand what was going on. It felt like, I felt like there was an attack or something was happening within the actual room, because it was almost like the atmosphere just got sucked out of the room. And everybody was just like, I stood up in my chair like, oh, you know, I'm gay. I love a little bit of drama. So I was like, ah! Looking around like, it was very much in like, oh my God. And also then you're thinking, you're looking at Twitter, and that's one of the weird things about being there, is that maybe not so much last year. I don't know why. Like, I feel like people just were a bit like, oh, I'm at the Oscars last year, and even this year to an extent. But in that moment, you were like, everybody in the world that loves film and even is on Twitter and loves a good bitch is talking about this right now. And I'm here. You just feel in the center of a conversation that's happening worldwide. And it's just surreal because you're just right beside them. And right after that, Emma Stone came into the room and she was like, I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know what they're talking about because I have my card right here. So basically what they said happened was Emma Stone's card was read out and it said Emma Stone, La La Land. And that's what was read out for Moonlight because it was the wrong card. But she was like, no, because when I won my award, I got my card and it's right here. And she was quite angry. Like we were in the room like, scandal. Lies, they're lying to us. And she was showing it to us, but actually what happened was there was a fail safe card, so there's a card on either side of the stage and she took the card that was used for her to win the award for best actress, but the award for best feature that year, they picked up the wrong card and it wasn't checked, and I think it was because they were taking a selfie with Emma. I have because there's a picture of the person who I think was Irish as well, as far as I remember. As far as I remember, the person who gave the wrong card was an Irish person. I was like,
of course.
Of course.
Oh, can we do anything right?
Grand, take any of them.
Because I'm pretty sure that they were on like Radio 1, like RT Radio 1 the week before doing an interview. Like, this is what we do. This is what happens. And then it was like, oh God, why did I do that interview? So they gave the wrong one. But yeah, it felt like, at the end of the day, the next week, you know, it moves on and nobody's talking about it, but it's still something that people mention sort of in pop culture and stuff. So it is weird to think that you were there in that moment and you kind of felt the reaction within the room.
Yeah, I watched that clip earlier. It was just mad. It was like, no, this is not a joke.
Yeah.
This is not a joke. Get up here. It's insane. Like,
it's so, like, not over the top. Like, I think if you're involved, obviously, like, of course it's a big deal, but like,
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
As you said, when you look back on it now and how quickly the news cycle moves, it's like,
And I just ended up feeling bad for Barry Jenkins and the team at Moonlight, because you're like, wow, that moment was kind of stolen from them. And yes, people will always remember that, but also it was such a significant win. It was, you know, a film about black LGBT people. Like, that was huge. Like,
I know, such a good film, if anyone hasn't seen that. I think I only ended up actually watching it this year or last year because of the pandemic. And I really wish I'd watched it sooner. It's so good.
So good.
What's your own, like, obviously you said you've covered 8 years of this now, or 8 Oscars. Like, you must have a favorite memory from the ceremonies you've covered. I'm sure it's probably a hard ask as well, but like, even considering the people you've interviewed, like, what stands out for you?
I mean, nothing will ever beat the first moment that I walked on the carpet. Personally, that is just a sense of, like, it literally, have you ever, you know that episode of The Simpsons where they're in the museum and she's like, velvet robe, velvet robe. It's that, like, literally red carpet. You're like putting your ear to the ground and being like, I can hear the ghost of John Wayne, like, sort of stuff like that. But I think probably favorite moments from the ceremonies over the years, I mean, Moonlight, La La Land, that's always going to be up there. Like, a lot of the big memories I would have would be even in the week leading up to it and stuff like that. But I'm trying to think, best moment that, like, it's kind of just like, I mean, probably for me, meeting Lady Gaga was just insane. Yeah. Olivia Colman winning that award was incredible. As a fan of a long time fan and somebody who watches The Peep Show on a daily basis, it was whoa, oh my God. this year would have been absolutely amazing. Parasite last year, I think that was such a huge, huge moment, because it was the only moment within that press room which felt on a par with the Moonlight stuff. When it won, everybody was just like, and everybody started going, yes, yes. It was almost just like this, oh my God, the, you know, patriarchy has been torn down and there's opportunities for other people and the right movie has won. And then, yeah, like getting to ask Brad Pitt a question last year, that's sort of in the, I think those moments are the best in the press room, because I've been fortunate enough and lucky enough over my career to interview, you know, some really talented people, and people have created incredible things. But in that moment, you're talking to them in the best moment of their life. It is the moment that their whole life has been leading up to. And unless it's someone like, I don't know, Meryl Streep, where they're like, ah, sure, I'll put this one in the third bathroom. Like, I think, you know, you're meeting them at a point that will always, they'll always remember. And I've interviewed kind of people over the years after they've won it, and after I've asked them a question within that room, like Viola Davis or Eddie Redmayne, and I've brought it up and they're like, I remember you. Yeah, oh my God. They're like, that was such a blur. That, and you just see their face light up and you just know that, you know, that was a moment they dreamt about when they were a child, and all of a sudden you are sharing it with them. And
yeah, you're a tiny part of it.
Tiny part of it, and it's stunning. It feels just like, and like they don't know your name, they won't care about you the next day. But for me, I was part of it. You know? I was part of it.
I think if I was you or in your position, Stephen, I would have no friends left, because I'd be, every conversation it'd be, well, when I met Lady Gaga, or it's kind of similar to when I spoke to Brad Pitt about that. Yeah. And bad enough as it is with this podcast, like I'm going to be talking about speaking to Stephen Byrne all week. Can you imagine if it was A-listers?
But you know what? I feel like there are sort of like moments where I have been on maybe dates or something and I've gone to see a movie with that person or whatever, and I'm like, do I say it?
You're like, don't say it, 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 don't say it.
And then you turn around, you're like, I've met everyone in this movie. No, but it is a weird one. Like, is it when something like that is part of your job and it becomes quite a general thing? And my housemates have probably noticed this as well during this lockdown. You know, they'd be walking by my room and they hear Little Mix going, hi, Stephen. Like, it's just like, they're like, what? It's normal. It becomes semi-normal, and I appreciate it and love it so much. And it's great crack, and you get to meet some people that you really admire. But it still does become like Tuesday. Okay, I got to do that and all that. So it you almost feel like a bit of a knob to downplay it as well, because I'm at the same time like, oh yeah, I can't believe I met Lady Gaga. Like, you're still very much within that sort of like, I know. So it's like, if I just feel like a bit of a knob if I'm like, oh yeah, no, I met her, yeah she's cool, like this, it's like, oh no, I know, this is whopper, and what the hell.
Who, and maybe you won't be at liberty to disclose this, but you have a silver tongue, so I'm sure you'll answer creatively. The best person you've interviewed and the worst person you've interviewed within the context of the Oscars, or even like just movies in general?
The Oscars, I'd say, stand out person. Oh, it's so, Frances McDormand was probably, you know, just such a big moment. Or, I mean, Steven Spielberg. I spoke to him before The Post when that came out. And for me, just Jurassic Park is my favorite movie in the entire world. That is a map of Jurassic Park.
That is the island. Jurassic Park.
Right above me.
Movie poster.
Yeah, it's a very awkward one. If anybody ever comes over to my room, you know, consensually, and we look and they're like, what is
the
that?
The Aran Islands.
And they look at it and they're like, oh, my guess it's the Aran Islands. Yeah, it's... No, that is a map of Jurassic Park, Isla Nublar. So, like, absolutely love Jurassic Park. So I think to sit in a room with Steven Spielberg and try to pretend like I'm being normal, it was crazy. And I luckily enough got to bring my sister that day as well, and she caught a glimpse. And like 5 minutes before as well, Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks were walking down the corridor, and they were just messing and shouting at each other, and Meryl turned around and was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I was like, don't apologize to me, Meryl. I'm sorry for existing.
So, walk all over me, queen. Yeah, it's fine.
Kick me in the face.
Break my nexus.
spit on me. I think that was a special moment, just because I could never fathom that I would ever be like able to hold a conversation with him. So having to pretend like I wasn't freaking out and be professional was just such a, yeah, it was just such a confidence booster in that sense, but also just such a, wow, oh my God, well done, Stephen. We're here.
Yeah. We did it, Joe. We did it, Joe.
You're the next president of the United States. And the worst, I interviewed someone who, I've interviewed them a couple of times, but they apologized to me after I interviewed them again. And I won't say exactly who it is, but they used to be a musician and now are an actor, big Hollywood actor. And they said something along the lines to me of, like, in an interview where I was like, oh, what are you going to do for Christmas? And they were like, basically, they were like, I'm going to terrorize my kids. And got really like, and I was just like, is this a joke or what is this? Because it was just a moment. It was for a bit like, oh, it's a bit awkward. I don't, not even say terrorize my kids is not even the word they use. They're like, oh, yeah.
Right.
It was just like, what are you talking about here? And then they apologized and they were just quite rude and it was all this, but they apologized to me about 2 years later and they're like, I am so sorry. I don't know what was going on with me that day. I was like, yeah, that was a really weird thing to say. But as that person is a little bit, I can't even say who it is. So yeah, you might want to cut this out. I don't know.
Says everything that they apologize after.
Yeah.
This year, obviously very different ceremony. It seemed like they were kind of really hell bent on having it be as normal as possible. I mean,
I just didn't like the messaging of the mask thing. I was like, make people wear masks, like in this world where it's so, like, you know, being debated, which it shouldn't be, especially in America, where you've got, you know, anti-mask protests happening in the UK around the same time, where there's people, you know, police officers actually being, you know, hurt and all that. It's like, is it that hard to just ask, even if they're vaccinated, ask them for, you are role models for so many people. And I feel it's so important that they could have in that moment just embraced it. Like, it just felt a little bit like, no, we will try and have this as normal as possible. Even the fact that they got the cartoon saloon guys out in Kilkenny in front of the castle at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m, you know, it was like, it just felt a little bit like, oh God, you're really into, like, have to, you really just want this to be as normal as possible. And it, I mean, it did feel like that, but it felt a little bit sterile, I think, at points as well.
But I think that seems to be the general consensus. But even in terms of results, did anything surprise you? Were you happy with anything? Such a weird year for cinema, obviously, because a lot of the Oscar nominated movies, like for here in Ireland, a lot of them only became available within like the last two, like Nomadland and Promising Young Woman were only available on streaming within the last week. So strange.
Nomadland in the last week, and Promising Young Woman as well. And we didn't even know if we were going to get that. A number of the other ones have been around for a little while. So some people might not have even seen that they were nominated. And there's some have been movies they passed on. But at the same time, it is very exciting because it means that a lot of people now can, you know, look back on what was nominated or won last night and dive into that over the next kind of few weeks and be like, oh, that must be good. There was a few. I think Anthony Hopkins winning was something that surprised me and surprised him.
Where did that come from? Like, any of the conversations I had with anyone, he was never, ever in the pit. And that seems to be the big thing, that it was like a real shock that Chadwick Boseman didn't get it.
Majorly.
For Marini's Black Bottom. Like, so strange. Aww.
And I think one of the big things, like, I obviously the reaction online was were people being like, oh, Chadwick should have won it. And his performance was absolutely incredible in that. And I think a lot of people were obviously a bit angry at that, but I felt really bad because I saw Anthony Hopkins release a video being like, I want to thank you for this award, but I am so surprised. Did not think I was going to win this. I love Chadwick so much. It almost felt like he was apologizing for it, which is a shame because Anthony Hopkins, obviously, you know, successful actor, brilliant performance in the film. Haven't seen it yet because it's actually not available here yet. And hopefully we'll get it within the summer, I think, when cinemas are open again. But it just felt a bit like, oh God, he must have been getting a lot of abuse because there was a reaction video he did to winning the BAFTA and he was like, la 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 la, oh my God. And then boom, for that, not that reaction. I think that, it was probably the biggest surprise. And I also, Frances McDormand wasn't expected to win for Nomadland. So I think people were a little bit shocked with that too. But the Oscars kind of always does that. Like they don't always fully go with what has been the prerequisite in the previous kind of award ceremonies. Whereas they did for so long that I think people are still in that mindset that that could possibly happen. So there's always avenue for an upset like we saw with Parasite, that, you know, completely threw any question out the window. And I hope that a lot of that is to do with the fact that they've diversified the Academy and
I was going
to
say
of other voices in there that might not have normally been in there. But other than that, it was a typical Oscar ceremony, and a lot of the movies that won were ones that I think we kind of expected.
Daniel Kaluuya, I want to bone that man so bad. He seems like the biggest crack ever. And
he's
like,
he's
outrageously hot, outrageously talented. He's up there. He's just won. And he's like, I just want to thank my parents for having sex. Like, he is.
Her face. Did you see her face?
But it was the sister like immediately cringing. And then the man being like, what the fuck did he just say? Like, it was.
Excuse me.
but Juice in the Back was like, incredible. It was so hard between him and Lakeith, because I thought Lakeith looked,
his outfit was incredible.
I'll be thinking about it for weeks. He one of the hottest people. Ever since I saw him on Uncut Gems, I'm like, you are too hot. It hurts my feelings.
And we all needed something to hold on to in that as well, because it was such a, like a ride of a movie. Judas and the Black Messiah, if people haven't checked it out, you can rent it, I think, on Amazon. And it was so worth it. Dominique Fishback as well, who's in an incredible performance from her. It's just a real lesson on a history that I think a lot of people in this country might not know about as well. All about the creation of the Black Panther Party and the assassination of Fred Hampton. And it's one of the ones, because I feel like a lot of people are going to dive into the streaming movies, but I don't think they're going to dive into obviously the ones where they have to rent them and pay that little bit of money, but it's 100% worth it if people can. But yeah, oh my God, the face of his mom was just like, but they're the moments you want. It's like, you know, that Billie Eilish face that she made where she's like, what? Like all that sort of stuff. The moments that can be memed, the moments that can be reproduced. And he, you know, he could have possibly won for Get Out back in the day, and that was a possibility. And it's great to see him up there, because I think he's gonna move on to even bigger things. He's so good. And another Skins alumni that's just absolutely killing it in Hollywood.
I completely forgot he was in Skins.
Oh my God, imagine.
He's doing a live action Barney the Dinosaur. You guys, you need to look this up, because every time I say to people, they're like, no, that's fake. And I have to double check every time, because I'm like, maybe it was an Onion article, but like, he's fully doing, I can't explain it. Hang on, I'm Googling it here now. Daniel Kaluuya, Barney.
That does sound movie. Made up. That sounds.
No, I swear to God, Barney movie. Barney is a dinosaur from Johnny, and now we know.
That's the theme tune. Hang on.
He wanted to be like dark. He's doing it with Mattel, like, who do Barbies and all, like,
who are also at the moment making a Barbie movie, which Margot Robbie's playing Barbie.
That'll be good.
Sorry, I'm so excited. Barney taught us I love you, you love me, won't you say you love me too. That's one of the first songs I remember, and what happens when that isn't true. I thought that was really heartbreaking. Use it. I can't deal. Every time I think about this, I'm like, I cannot wait.
What is he going to be?
I'm not sure if he's actually going to be in the cast, if he plans on playing Barney, but
yeah,
I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
That is crazy. But yeah, they're obviously buying up all those
all the childhood toys and making them evil. Yeah.
But I think the Barbie one's going to be good, because Greta Gerwig is directing it and Margot Robbie is starring as Barbie. So I think there could be something there, that they'll do something very 21st century with it. And it's being written by Noah Baumbach.
Oh, he did. Greta's Marriage. Yeah.
Greta's partner. Yeah. So I think that's going to be just something completely different that people aren't expecting from a movie titled Barbie.
I just love Margot. I miss her. Yeah. I haven't seen her in bits and a while.
She's so fab. That's my favorite moment. Oh my God. When Frances McDormand won for Three Billboards, and when the cameras went off and all that happened, you know, when they went to the ad break, all the women who had been nominated for Best Actress, which was Saoirse Ronan, which was, I think, Margot Robbie, I think, that year as well. And everybody that was nominated, they all just got together and just got together in this big, massive hug. And it was stunning. It was just such a lovely moment, and highly illegal now, but so gorgeous. And I think that was probably one of my favorite moments seeing that. I actually was like close to a tear. I don't know why. I was just like, oh, look at them all. And Saoirse.
Yeah, and Saoirse in the middle of it just adds a bit of
a bit
closer to home feels.
Yeah, completely.
In your professional opinion, Stephen, as a movie Oscars expert, Fionnuala has written down here, what is your favorite movie and actor? I don't know if there's more context to that, Fionnuala.
No, I just want to know, like.
I think, I always say I have like three favorite movies, because like you can always go for the very, like, I love Jurassic Park. I love it. Okay. It's amazing. And the other two would be Alien. I'm a big, massive Alien fan, love horror. And it was probably one of my first introductions to it. And The Truman Show is a movie that I go back to all the
time. Really?
I absolutely adore. And fortunately enough, got to do it for my Leaving Cert, which was crazy. So, yeah, absolutely love The Truman Show. I'd probably watch it like 4 or 5 times a year. And I don't know why. I don't know what it was that just hooked me into it. But
does it not induce like an existential crisis for you?
Maybe that's what it is.
you just
maybe this is the existential crisis.
Maybe that's what it is. Because I do regularly think that we're living in a simulation.
Yeah.
Like, things happen to me all the time where people are like, oh, it's a very Stephen Burr thing to happen. And they're just coincidences that are just like, this is a script. This is a movie script. But yeah, Truman Show would probably be my number one kind of favorite movie, and kind of grew up loving Jim Carrey, not so much anymore, but like at the time, like as a teenager, Jim Carrey was probably my go-to, and Jeff Goldblum as well.
Pretty bad, but in my brain I've like registered that Jim Carrey is dead, but he's very much alive, isn't
no
he?
He's literally not ever
my brain screams dead when I think of Jim Carrey.
Well, his career might be, but he's not.
Zing, got him.
Stephen, you're on the radio at the minute. Where can people find you if they want to hear that voice more? I always love your voice because it just sounds like you're smiling whenever you speak. Yeah. I don't know if anyone says that to you, but you just sound like you have a big smile on your face.
Yeah, and you're having the time of your life, and it honestly, it's palpable.
Yeah.
That one of the first things that I ever got told was people can hear you smiling. So smile. And not just to me, that like if you smile, that people can hear a smile. So
that you're the embodiment of that.
Went into that. But covering breakfast at the moment while Dearen creates a new breakfast show, which is very exciting. And myself and Tara Stewart are in there. And I've known Tara for years. So it's such a lovely kind of gift to be able to be in there with, you know, one of your good friends at 6 o'clock in the morning, trying to wake each other up. But it's very good fun. And then weekends, you can catch me from 3 to 5, where we do kind of a lot of the movie interviews, and we have a few exciting guests coming up over the next few weeks as well.
Stephen Byrne, thank you so much for joining us on Bandwagons.
This is my Oscars. Being here is honestly like, you know, I very much was like, oh my God, like Emma Stone's in the room again. Well, I've got... 2 Meryl Streep sitting right in front of me right now.
Yes.
So.
when we can hang out in person, let's do drinks and we'll get you on off the wagon and we'll get really rowdy.
Yes.
Please, 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 please.
Absolutely. That was Stephen Byrne talking to us about the Oscars. Many thanks to him for joining us again. As we said, we have a lot to catch up on. If you have any pressing imminent thoughts on any of the movies or anything that went down, DM us, let us know. Let us know if you think anyone was robbed. We'd be very interested to hear that. Before we get into mini bandwagons,
I was going to say, instead of mini bandwagons, we can do this, but I do have some mini bandwagons, but they're...
We'll do the housekeeping. It's fine. Okay. You can take a week off. It's fine. Okay. Obviously, we had our event last week with Dearen Garrahy and Victoria Secret. Many thanks to them again in aid of the Irish Cancer Society. So our final tally was...
I don't have the exact figure, but it was very close to €2,500, which is absolutely insane. Between donations from friends, from ticket sales, from our Instagram stories, that's all added together. It's more than we had set out. Like, I was like, if we make 500 euro, it's great. So we've made five times that. And I actually couldn't be happier. And everyone I've told is very delighted with us. And we should be very proud. But a lot of the credit should go to Victoria and Darren, because whatever we were expecting them to do, they came on and they did 10 times that. They were so funny. I felt like I actually was in the George or in a nightclub for the bingo. And Darren spilled the tea and was so funny as per usual. So we can't thank them enough. And for everyone for tuning in, for donating. What a night.
Big thank you to Bucket Hound and Hunter Comms for supplying the prizes. And a big thank you to the people buying the prizes. Mr. Tato, Still Garden Distillery, Wine Lab, Jando, The Body Shop.
Grace O'Malley. Deals. No, I paid for those.
Thank you to Breed for providing the deals goodie bags. Big thank you to get them, and big thank you to Claire Buckley in Buck and Hound for supporting that. We hugely appreciate it. Prizes are being sorted this week. Bear with us. It all ended up being very mental.
One of us, probably Fionnuala, should have been in touch with you by now if you won a prize. If not, please do get in touch. But I feel like you've probably spoken to everyone.
Yeah. I'm waiting on one more person from Bingo. But I'd imagine by the time this goes out, hopefully they will be on to us. Have them shortly.
If you'd like us to do more of these events, please, please, please let us know. Because we can do that. It could happen. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but we can start planning another one if people are up for it. It's mad. Even Victoria had said before, we sold 300 tickets, like, which is mad. And after we'd sold maybe close to 200, Victoria said, after a year of Zoom events in this like pandemic, to sell that many tickets is insane when people have such Zoom fatigue. So
yeah, we are beyond grateful, and we're going to do it up big style in person as a way to say thanks.
Yeah.
When are our shows? October? November?
November.
November, sorry. My God, my brain. We cannot wait to slobber all over you in person. That's it from us this week. We're over on Patreon if you want to join us over there for bonus episodes. Patreon.com/bandwagons.
Is it Movie Club this week? I think it's bedtime.
Yeah, we can. Yeah. It's something anyway. They'll be getting something. We're Bandwagons Podcast on all social media. This podcast has been produced by Collaborative Studios. I've been Fionnuala.
I've been Breed.
We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.